Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Happy Tuesday, everybody, and welcome back to the Fenway Rundown podcast presented by Mass Live. I'm Chris Cotillo reporting from Rogers Center in Toronto, where the Red Sox, after losing 7-2 in the series opener of their three-game series against the Blue Jays, are looking to bounce back. You know, during the season, different heroes emerged for the Red Sox. Over the last couple weeks, one of them has been Rob Refsnyder, former Yankees farmhand and then rookie who has really bounced around for the last few years and has kind of found his footing here with the Red Sox in the last few weeks. He was nice enough to join the pod. We talked about his career so far, what intrigued him about this Red Sox opportunity, and how at 31 years old, he's still developing. So enjoyed catching up with Rob today. Hope you enjoy it too. So we're here in the away dugout at Rogers Center in Toronto with Rob Refsnyder, who's been, I'd put it as a kind of a lightning bolt for the Red Sox in the last couple weeks. Rob, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
I'll start with this. I mean, you've obviously kind of had a unique journey to this point. You know, you've played for a lot of teams the last few years, a lot of teams in this division. Started with the Yankees, played for the Rays. At this point in your career, 31, I mean, how has your perspective changed on, you know, making the most of every opportunity, trying to stay in the majors, get to the majors? I mean, how has that perspective really changed over time?
Yeah, that's a great question. My first year was 2015 with the Yankees, and yeah, it's definitely been a journey, you know. A lot of different teams, various, you know, opportunities and things like that. So it's kind of hard to put into, I guess, words. You know, it's been a long time.
I mean, for you, what was so intriguing about this opportunity when you were a free agent and the Red Sox came calling this winter?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to be a part of a, you know, a winning organization, a good team. That's kind of the most important thing at this point. Just being a part of a, you know, winning baseball team, having good communication with the front office. Like you said, I'm 31, so you know, definitely come into, you know, interesting, you know, part of my career. I think that, you know, the average age of this team is around that age. So just, you know, definitely not a young guy anymore. So just trying to get somewhere where, you know, my wife and my son and just myself, my family are comfortable, and just have a good line of communication with the front office and the staff, which the Red Sox kind of went above and beyond early on what you know, I was looking for.
And, you know, I've heard that they were very aggressive in trying to sign you, a minor league deal, but, you know, did they go to, what are some of the things that, you know, they pitched to you during that process?
Yeah, obviously it was a kind of an interesting offseason, yeah. and, you know, minor league, free agent, you know, all that kind of different things. I had known him previously when I was with Tampa, so we had a little bit of relationship there, and then just kind of early on, they got a hold of myself and my agency, and kind of set up a Zoom call and kind of went over a couple different things. I started then, I was like super you know, interested in an organization that believed in player development, because I definitely don't think I'm a finished product. Mm-hmm. And I definitely want to keep continuing to learn and get better. And you know, I talked to Fatsy, the hitting coach, and a couple of the other front office guys. You know, Abraham was on there, can't remember everybody, but yeah, it just seemed like it was pretty impressive, you know, as a minor league sign. Obviously, you never really know where you fit in. It's kind of a crapshoot, honestly, for people not familiar with the minor league signing kind of thing. But I've always been, you know, the last couple of years I've been in this situation. If a team calls pretty early on, that means, you know, you're kind of a priority in whatever that situation is. So I know some guys like to wait to the very end just to see how the roster kind of fits and things like that. But I didn't really know what was going to go on with, you know, obviously the lockout and things like that. So. Yeah, they were one of the first teams to call, and then signed, I think, shortly thereafter.
And how did that relationship, knowing Haim from Tampa, make things, you know, easier, make more comfortable for you?
Yeah, I mean, I had a good relationship in Tampa. Statistically, I didn't play very well, but they were, you know, they were really, really good to me. Even in Tampa, with my role, and when I went down to AAA and things like that, it was a good experience. It was a great experience. They run things over there really, really well. So, and then I had signed with a couple other places that just that the communication wasn't as good. And, you know, that was the biggest thing.
For you coming up in the Yankees organization, right? Like, these guys are the enemy. I'm sure that, you know, your first organization, you always want to be there for your career. What did you learn with the Yankees, the way they do things, that has made it easier to go from organization to organization? And what's different or similar about being with the Red Sox?
I guess it's just the media presence. You know, I don't think you have a media presence without, obviously, you know, winning, you know, great baseball. So that was a nice thing that I learned with New York. You know, obviously, I was always on the fringe of their roster. I wasn't, you know, obviously a big name and things like that. But the media presence, you know, was huge there. It was like the 25th guy was still getting, you know, questions asked and things like that. It was not overwhelming, but it was definitely like an eye-opening experience. Then you go to other organizations where it's just not even close. You can play really bad baseball and no one, you know, it doesn't seem as big. Whereas, you know, here in the Yankees, the fan base wants to see their players play extremely hard and play winning baseball, and they have a standard, and it's a cool thing. I mean, that's what baseball should be. I mean, you should have passionate fan bases that want their players doing everything that they possibly can in their power to win games. You know, so I guess going through the Yankee system and then coming here, it just felt like, oh, wow, like this is, you know, I know. It just means more. You know, every day means more, and it's pretty cool to see and be a part of.
You still have a lot of friends over there. I think you're tight with Aaron Judge, some other guys, right?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, you know, grew up with a lot of those guys. Not as many guys are over there anymore, which I think speaks, you know, volumes of their player development. And there's some, you know, different players, and they've acquired some players, but I played with a couple of those guys, and you know, great organization. Those guys work extremely hard. It's very similar here, you know.
And when you signed with the Red Sox, I mean, at that point with minor league free agents, they can't, you know, make too many promises on roles, and, you know, the roster is going to change, obviously, before opening day. But what were the promises they made that you'd, you know, obviously be in major league camp, but that there'd be a chance to compete for a spot, obviously, a right-handed hitting outfielder at that point, you know, especially after the Renfro trade was a position to need?
Yeah, I guess the last couple of years I've kind of fit into this role a little bit, you know, play against left-handers, you know, give some guys a break and things like that. So it's always nice having a role, kind of a defined role. So it's nice to be able to focus down the offseason and work on, you know, angles from the left side and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, they didn't promise me anything. I mean, obviously you really can't, but I guess what they can, I guess, assure you is, like, you can come in and compete in camp and actually, you know, compete and not just kind of just be a body in camp, which is nice. I don't think, I mean, at this stage, it's nice having a front office or, you know, player development guys tell you, you know, something and you can actually believe it. And that's what I felt with them. And yeah, I think I signed before that trade. So I knew it was going to be crowded, but I didn't really care. I just wanted to be a part of a, you know, tradition and, you know, be a part of Boston. They kind of assured me that, you know, at some point, you know, we don't know when, kind of thing. So yeah, that's kind of what I went on.
And in spring training, I think, you know, you said before you were treated like a big leaguer, and, you know, it felt like, you know, they kind of respected that you've been around for a while, those types of things. What was that like? And then what was the process of, you know, not making the opening day roster and you know, starting in Worcester?
Yeah. I think they understood that I'm, you know, 31, so obviously you can't just, you know, play every day in spring, and you know, your body needs a little bit more time to recover. So they treated me well in that aspect, just helping me get ready for whatever season it was going to be. And then obviously I was disappointed not making the team, but it was a very obvious, I mean, I think the older you get and the more you're around rosters, you see how they're configured, and I knew it was going to be close, but I, you know, they had such a, I mean, they still do have such a solid roster. Guys have their roles, and but I guess they kind of reassured me at some point, you know. And then going down to, you know, AAA, I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better situation or staff. It's, I mean, it's incredible there. It's a big league staff in AAA. I mean, the facilities are amazing. You've been there, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, the travel's a lot better now, but like the training staff, the strength, it's over the top for AAA. Nutrition, food. I know their budget for food is, I mean, they do a great job. Yeah. Making guys are, you know, healthy and well, I mean, it's over the top great. I mean, I think Red Sox fans should be super excited for, you know, some of the guys coming up and just how it's run in AAA. I think they're going to see a lot more guys probably at the end of this year, maybe, you know, next couple of years of, like, very exciting, you know, baseball players for sure.
Is that as world-class or major league-like as you've seen a AAA atmosphere, facility, all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think really good organizations, winning organizations. I don't think it's a surprise that, you know, you probably see their AAA and, you know, even AA, I'm sure. Those guys are taken care of. And, yeah, but for me personally, it's the best, one of the best, but just like a great staff that understands, you know, the dynamics of being a AAA. You know, most people don't want to be there. They want to be in the big leagues or – but, you know, Tracy does a great job. You know, Tracy was great. I mean, he's a great AAA manager. I'm sure he'll be on a big league staff soon. Flo's obviously been with, you know, a couple organizations. He speaks for himself. And Monty's up and coming hitting coach. Getty, obviously, Getty's a staple of Boston, yeah. You know, baseball. So I know the young pitching staff, Abby, you know, everybody. It's just, it's pretty impressive.
And you thrive there. Hit over 300, 950 something OPS. You talk about, you just mentioned, there's a few headlines last week, 31, you're still developing. You know, a lot of guys who have been through kind of what you've been through might not be trying to reinvent themselves as a player as much. What are the things that you know, I guess went into this season thinking, I want to work on these things, and what in Worcester allowed you to improve on those?
Yeah, last year I changed my swing. I did a real big overhaul mechanically. The AAA alt-site hitting coach, Borgs, he's the big league hitting coach now for the Orioles. Borgs, and, you know, Fatsy obviously had ties with the Twins.
Yeah.
So I know they're still tight. They talk. So I think Borgs and Fatsy have had conversations about me. Just keeping me on the same, you know, kind of trajectory, track. There's a lot more moving parts in my swing now, so it's a lot more to maintain but develop it at the same time. I struggled mechanically for a long time, a couple of years, not really like really knowing myself as a hitter. And then defensively, I was still in the infield, which was a grind. So I couldn't really focus on my offense that much. So it was nice going back to the outfield where I could, you know,
right,
feel a little bit more natural. And then I started, you know, thinking about my swing for the first time in a while. And, you know, last year, Borgs, you know, I give all credit to, you know, having a, you know, good start last year with Borgs. I mean, my swing was completely different before I met him. So, yeah. So it's awesome having, you know, Fatsy,
yeah,
and Borgs still have that relationship, you know, because it kind of keep me on a good track. And just having that opening, you know, open conversations about mechanics and, you know, game planning. Yeah, so, I mean, it's pretty cool. Yeah, 31, it's like, feels like I'm young again with my swing and stuff like that. Yeah. And just trying to, you know, learn things every day, which you can. I mean, I feel like early on in my career, it was more, you know, just like, get ready for the game and get ready for a game plan and then, you know, keep that going. But there wasn't much, like, you know, change mechanically as much. So, yeah.
And, you know, to do it at AAA is one thing, you know, 306, I think, and a high OPS. But to come up here and produce immediately, you know, at this level for, you know, a month now, are you surprised at what the level of the results have been? Or is that kind of what you expect of yourself coming up?
I mean, I feel like the easy answer would be like, oh, yeah, you expect that, right? But, like, that, I don't like lying to the media or fans and things like that, right? Yeah. It's like, it's probably the best division one of the best divisions of baseball, if not the best, and you're just competing against, you know, high-level arms, good teams, you know, big market, you know, fans that expect, you know, winning baseball. But I guess the biggest thing was I wasn't, like, focused on results too much, you know. It's like, that's why I wanted to come to, you know, like, a winning team, You know, you just come in and you try to have good at bats, try to play good defense. So it's like you try to do that, and maybe, you know, results will take care of itself, which it has, which is nice.
And, you know, a couple more, just guys that you saw at AAA. Obviously, Jaren Duran's a guy that's been up now for a while, and you competing with the bats, at, you know, at some points with him. But how, like, unique is his skill set compared to what you've seen throughout your career? I mean, obviously, it just seems like he brings a different element to the field every day.
It's electric. You know, that's probably the best way to put it. Like, he's so fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, just, like, the more you play, the less... I guess the more you play and you see special, you know, players, it's they just stand out. Like, he's just... I joke with guys and the staff, like, I would not want to be a pitcher trying to hold Jaren on and then have to face Devers.
Yeah.
Like, that just seems like an impossible task.
Right.
So, I mean, I feel like Red Sox fans should be super excited about Jaren. Like, he's... Even as a baseball lifer, you know, he does some things on the field that, like, that doesn't make sense. He tagged up from second base on a center field, like a routine center field play.
Yeah.
In AAA.
Spring training, I think, too.
Yeah, like, he's doing a great job hitting the ball the other way, like, having good at-bats. And then, you know, he's still got, you know, a lot of power. So, like, he can, you know, hit a hanging off-speed right center, you know. So, he's, like, still developing, still learning. But he's like, usually the first guy in the cage. I mean, he works his ass off. Like, he's pretty fun to, like, be around. And, you know, obviously, you've been around him. A lot of energy, high-energy guy, so... I mean, I love playing with Jaren. I think he's just an electrifying, you know, baseball player. And, you know, really, really fun. Really fun to watch.
And there's a ton of guys who've been with Wister who've already been up. I mean, who have contributed to this team. But
yeah.
From Jaren to Casas to, you know, Winkowski, Siebold, Crawford, these guys, is that as much talent as you've seen on a AAA team? You know, Bayo, Walter, those types of guys. Like, there's really kind of feels like the cavalry's coming.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, you got to give a lot of credit to player development and then, you know, the front office assembling, you know, such a young, seems like a new, young, you know, kind of core. It's exciting, you know, there's so many good arms and there's so many good, like, veteran arms, too. I mean, if I was, like, a, you know, front office guy, I'd be scouting Wooster, you know, pretty freaking hard because top to bottom, there's a lot of talent. You look at Yolmer, you know, like, you got a Gold Glover who was there. Fitzgerald can play all over the field. He's got left-handed pop. I mean, you can keep going on, but the, I mean, you talk about the staff. Bayo's—he's really exciting. So I mean, I'm sure he'll be up here at some point. Just electric arm. You know, look at Wink. Wink's had a couple quality starts. But yeah, you can keep going on. And then you look at contributors already from AAA. You know, like Tribe and Danish, and it's pretty cool.
Right.
You know, see them successful. Obviously, Franchi and things like that. So. They're doing something good, so they should be proud of themselves for, you know, the player development that's going on in AAA and getting guys ready. It's been pretty cool to see.
And last thing for you, I think you told the Globe over the weekend you'd like to manage someday, and that's a goal. What has it been like just playing under Alex Cora and this, as you kind of build your toolbox of what you would like to be as a manager someday? Yeah. What do you take from him?
It's hard to put into words. I mean, you hear things from other sides. You know, when you play the Red Sox, like, oh man, AC over there, like he's pretty special. Like, he just remembers everything. He's got this amazing memory, and you're like, okay, you hear that, and then you see it firsthand, and you know, you see it in our offensive, you know, meetings and things like that. I've never been around a manager that engaged in meetings and contributes and just random things like that. Different intricacies, you know, catcher pickups, pitcher pickups, like just so many different things that, like, I don't even know how he has time to, like, think about that, you know, with all the other different, like, responsibilities on a day-to-day on a manager. But he's personable too, which is like, he's got, I don't know, I don't know how he does it, you know. It's a, it seems like an overwhelming task to be that engaged and that, you know, that engaged with his players and his staff and making sure everyone feels a part of it.
Right.
That's pretty special. Like, he's one of the best in the business for a reason. And just being around him, watching him, you know, get after it every day, it's pretty cool. And you know, if I ever do get into manager, I'm definitely gonna try to steal a couple things here and there. But he's his own manager. You know, he's super. You know, I'm sure interviewing other managers and, you know, seeing her at different styles, like, you can definitely tell AC's you know, kind of a one-of-a-kind personality, and so it's cool to see. He's definitely, but he's definitely the most engaged manager I've had in meetings and game planning and stuff. He knows, he sees everything, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, and you're managing the Red Sox someday. We'll welcome you back on the podcast again. Thanks a lot, Rob. Yeah.